morning we'll step into an area. If you're here and you're born again, you're going to know this already. If you're not born again, you want to listen to it. But if you have a pen and pencil for notes, I'll give you a few verses this morning you might want to write down, because, you know, we are in the time, I truly believe, that the Lord is coming soon. And we'll have more and more opportunity to witness to people. And whether you've been born again one day or 1 year or 10 years or 40 years, it doesn't make a difference. You can share something about the Lord. And a couple of weeks ago, we went through the scriptures and we did the same thing. We wrote down the scripture, but how God looks at life. Amen? Because the big issue, going back and forth on the abortion issues and stuff. And you can't scream at people to change your minds. I'm not here to change anybody's mind. I'm here to share what the Word of God says. And so we have somebody in opposition say, well, sit down a second. What do you think when God says this and this, and we shared all the scriptures? That way you share with other people, then let God move upon their hearts. But as we approach this fall coming up and some of these heavier times, God's heart, remember, is that no one would perish. Amen? Thinking no one would perish. And I know there's some folks right now we wish would perish. But our heart can't be that way. We have plenty that we want to be removed from positions. I mean, I remember in high school, I had teachers I want to get removed from positions, you know. But I don't want any harm done to them, you know what I'm saying? And the main reason why I get rid of them, because it made me do my work. So I want to share a few scriptures today. There's about 5 or 6 of them. Then we're going to talk a little bit more about what you did last week, intercessory prayer, how important it is. I can turn my lights up. A lot of times it's hard to minister to a large group. If you want to share the gospel, and there's... I thought someone was speaking in tongues back here. I thought, wow, didn't quite understand it, but yeah, that's okay. I mean, you can put them in their bugs. But especially if you get 5 or 6 guys together, and someone comes up and is going to talk about the Lord, most of them make fun of the person, you know, they wouldn't interact with them. But if you get them one-on-one, you know, if I say, hey, Jeff, come here a second. Hey, I want to talk to you about the Lord. Man, I don't want to hear that stuff. But just give me 15 minutes. I just want to share 15 minutes, all acts. I'm going to share something with you, and you just take it from there. Because how can people understand the love that God has for us if someone's not sharing it? And again, you've probably been through this before, you've heard it before, but maybe you don't understand, didn't have the scriptures. So I want you to have it available to you, because the harvest is going to be coming big time. And people are going to be looking for something that's solid. They're going to be looking for what you have in your life. Where did you get that peace at? You know, the whole world's falling apart, and there you are, you're standing. You're worshiping God? Well, isn't God in control? Why you worship somebody letting all this stuff take place? And they don't understand God gave us control, right? And we messed it up. When we give our life to Christ, we get back control of our life. But the Bible does tell you that Satan is a father of this world right now. So there'll be a lot of people be devastated. But the first scripture we'll take to is Romans 3:23. And this is very Christianity 101, but we need it because people are going to need it. Because I needed it. Remember, I always thought I was perfect. That right, Dick? I was a cop, buddy. Yeah. I was always perfect. Yeah. But in Romans 3:23, it tells us right up front that we've all sinned and fallen of the glory of the Lord. That every one of us. Again, if you've been through this, you understand it, praise God. Just reaffirming the Word with them, and you'll be able to share. If you're not here, you don't have Christ as Savior and Lord, listen to the Scriptures this morning, let it speak to you. But every person was born in sin, they have a sin nature, and every person falls short of the glory of God, separated from God. And that's a fact. So if you get whoever you're going to witness to, talking with them, you know, so open your Bible, let me share a few scriptures. I'm going to share these with you. And then, if you don't hear no more, that's okay, but just let me share this. That's what the Lord wants us to do. How many people ever had the gospel given to them, and you walked away from it and did nothing with it for years and years? I was one of them, you know. But sooner or later, it took root, you know. And how can you know something if no one's taught us, you know? You know, I was speaking earlier about having a deck built in the last 3 days. I learned a lot from watching them build this deck. I mean, I know how to square things up now. And the only thing is an 8x10 deck. The only thing I wish I would have done different would have done the 8x40 deck first. but I'm just telling you, I learned so much by watching, you know, and just listening. And will I ever attempt one? I don't know. I want to. I have this desire. You know, I can see me cutting wood and stuff, you know, and but probably not. Carol's praying for the rapture. That we have to worry about that part of it. But to be able to, someone to watch your life and then be able to share the word with them, and then as they walk away from you and never talk to you again, listen, you've done what the Lord has asked you to do, to share the truth. You know? In Romans 6:23, and for some of us who have been in the church for years, this is, we call it the Romans Road. Everybody hear the Romans Road? Yeah. Because you kind of walk through most of these verses are in Romans, and it shows that really that love and the need that we have for Jesus. But in Romans 6:23, it says that the penalty of our sin is death. The penalty of our sin is separation from God, now and eternity. And that's one thing I try to folks remember when someone says, you know, hey, I'll pray for you, okay? And they don't know the Lord, okay? Isaiah 59:2 says that sin separates us from God's ears, okay? So their prayer will not go above the ceiling, okay? So if you need prayer, always get hold of a brother and sister who you know is walking with Jesus for prayer. And if they say, well, I've been praying about it. Well, okay, we know if they're not born again, their prayers are not going to the Lord, okay? So make sure you take time to pray, at least to yourself, to the Lord for that situation. Recommend, Jeff says, I'm picking on you today, Jeff, because Bob's not here to pick on. But Jeff comes and says, oh man, I've been praying to get a job. And if Jeff wasn't born again, I thought, okay, first thing he needs is Jesus. So my prayer, not with him, because he'll get mad and walk out. I'm just using you, Jeff, okay? I'm not saying you will. I wouldn't say, well, Lord, Jeff needs a job. But first of all, he needs you more importantly. So God, through this predicament he has right now, may his eyes be open, Father. Because you said that you would supply all our needs of riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, Lord. So I just pray the day that Jeff's eyes be open, and through that, he will supply his needs with a job and housing, whatever he needs. But first, God, he needs you. Because without you, all that other stuff means no good at all. So Lord, Jeff, won't you listen to me? So, Father, I pray that you would send a worker. Your word says, pray for workers for the harvest. Send the workers across Jeff's path that will witness to him in such a way that his eyes be able to receive Jesus Christ. And I just bind now whatever spirit is separating Jeff right now. If it's a spirit of sadness, depression, if it's hatred, whatever it is, I bind that in the name of Jesus. But see, I pray that with him, and he doesn't know the Lord yet, he'd get very upset. You know, I mean, folks, if I got born again, if I didn't know Brother Dick, he'd walk up to me and say, hey, Brother Starkey, I've been praying for you. I'm thinking, I don't need prayer. Are you insulting me? I mean, isn't that stupid? I mean, in a way, that was me. That was my self-righteousness. I mean, wow. And so, we just got to learn, let the Lord lead you on how to share. But the number one thing is, the most important is, and so they come to know Jesus. And I had a lady come into church a while back, had her son, and he was living in a car. And kind of rebellious. She said, would you pray with me for my son to get a job that we don't live in the car? I said, well, is he a Christian? No. I said, well, let's pray first that he finds Jesus through his predicament. And we prayed in agreement. And before long, he got a job. Or he got born again at the church, gave his life to Christ, got a job, and a year later started his own company. Yeah, but the mother, she knew that Christ was more important in his life than the job. And so, yeah, just pray in agreement. And I knew that she would be in agreement with me because loving Jesus the way she did. So, but that sin separates us from God, and we just have to share that with people, you know. And Hebrews 9:27. And folks, when you share this, you don't have to be another Starkey, okay? God will lead you. The Holy Spirit will lead you in just how to share. The Roman road is very simple truth, but very important truth. And just when you're speaking the word out in faith, it's going to penetrate into the heart, even though they won't receive it yet. Even though they might be, I'm going to say unhumbled. I don't know. What would you call me if I knew Jesus? Never mind. Even though they might be macho, okay, you're still speaking to them. I understand they're going to hear that thing, you know. I remember crying out to the Lord one night. I couldn't breathe anymore. I could not breathe. And I had smoked all my life. I smoked 3 and 4 packs a day. And you smoke, I'm not speaking against you. If you're eating too much bacon, I am. Bring some to me, okay? Bacon grease and smoking has about the same effect on your heart, you know? So if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go bacon anymore. But I just remember crying out, and there was only one prayer I knew. That was the Lord's Prayer. I repeat that probably 1,000 times that night. And I watched my mama die from COPD, emphysema. And the next morning, I got up. I smoked half a pack of cigarettes, drank a pot of coffee. And at noon, the Lord spoke to my heart. Put it down. And he took it away from me. Right then. It'll be 25 years ago in October. That's just me, okay? Smoking might not be causing any trouble, okay? I'm just saying that he heard the cry of my heart, and boom, I had that relationship with the Lord, and man, because I really wanted it. You know, oh my. And I'm here today because he took it away from me. Because I was 3-pack a day, cigars, pipe. I was chewing tobacco, rubbing snuff. Yeah, I mean, sometime 2 or 3, one, I'm telling you, I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah. Where was I at? Oh, Hebrews 9:27. They give you that judgment is certain to everyone. It's appointed a man to live, then die, and then come judgment. This is the word of God, and there's a lot of stuff out there today tell you're gonna live forever, you're gonna be reincarnated, and you might come back if you had a good life. You might come back as an eagle. If you had a bad life, you might come back as a Michigan fan. All kind of stuff is out there that tells you. But really, they believe that stuff. Because if they believe that, then the judgment isn't that bad. And there's some teachings out there that when you die, you no longer exist. Not Ezekiel. When Solomon was depressed, he wrote a book. Now the other one. Ecclesiastics. Sorry. Ecclesiastics. MRE Ecclesiastics. Okay. That is a book that Solomon wrote when he was depressed. Anybody been depressed? You ever get depressed and think differently than you do when you're not depressed? Amen? The only thing different between us and him, he wrote them down. He wrote down, and some of you might journal, okay? But he wrote this down. And he was down and out. He was saying a lot of things that he just never got a hold of. I mean, he just did so depressed, like, there's no God, and that there's no difference between man and a dog. That when you're dead, you're dead. You no longer exist nowhere. The soul goes nowhere. And there's a religion out there that grabs that one verse and made a whole doctrine out of that. Now, if you would read that to the enemy, he comes out of it praising the Lord, and wow, victorious. But there's that one verse they built a whole doctrine on, and that's a lie. But a lot of people believe that. And some people say, hey, listen, I'm going to die, I'm going to go to hell, the devil, I'm going to party all the time. You know what I'm saying? And there's no party in hell. In fact, you go to hell, you read the scriptures, you're there by yourself, completely in torment. And people say, well, what kind of God would do that to his creation? Well, I'm telling you what, God loves you and I so much, he sent his son Jesus. What kind of God loves a person so much that he dies for them? I know one God. Yahweh, you want to call? Jehovah? Yeshua? Oh, I'm telling you what. So his desire that no one would ever perish. And that's why these scriptures here, and that's why it's so important for each one of us, as we have the opportunity to share. The judgment is certain We're all going to stand before God. And if you gather here today as a born-again believer, your judgment will be in heaven at the rapture of the church, at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You'll be at the Bema Seat judgment. You won't be judged whether you go to heaven or not. You're going to be there. But everything that you've done as a born-again Christian will be judged. And whether you did it for the Lord to bring Him glory, boom, you get rewards. We'll give to Him. And if we did it for our own self, you know, to bring me glory, you know, Kenny's have a picture on Facebook, flipping burgers for Jesus, okay? If the only reason Kenny did that was bring him glory and show everybody, hey, look at me, I'm cooking and stuff, he gets no reward for that. But he was out there flipping burgers, sweating, him and Levada out there cooking and stuff to show the love of Jesus. He'll get a reward for that part of it, you know? Everything that we do for the Lord, we'll have that judgment. But for those who don't know Christ, the white throne judgment comes at the end of the millennium. Remember, right now, and we're not living for the rapture. We're already citizens of heaven. Understand that? We are waiting for the rapture. Okay, there's two different things. Because if you're waiting, make sure I say this the right way. If you're waiting on the rapture, you're sitting down waiting. Okay, hope it gets here pretty quick. You know. Come on, Lord. But if you're living for the rapture, meaning that you're living, serving the Lord before the rapture comes. Two different things. He doesn't want to sit down and boom. Because what will take place? We hear that trumpet sound. We know our loved ones who died of Christ is coming up. The soul's coming back, be reunited. They're going to be changed in a heartbeat. All of us serving the Lord, loving Jesus, are going to be changed and taken to heaven. Timeline then is 7 years of tribulation on this earth. We have the rise of the Antichrist, one world government, one world currency, one world religion. And I'm telling you, it's going to be terrible. The mark of the beast will come. That'll be 7 years. Then we come back with Christ. And Satan is bound, cast into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. Then there'll be a millennium reign, 1,000 years on earth. They say at that time, if a person would die at 100 years old, they died as an infant. Because Satan is bound, so the temptation is not out there. And at the end of that 1,000 years, the scripture says that Satan will be loose to tempt those. That way everybody's on the same playing field. We can't get to heaven and say, well, I had a tougher time than you. I was tempted by Satan. You weren't. Nah, 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 nah. No, you're going to be tempted also. Make it even. Then at the end of that's it. White throne judgment will come. And everyone will stand before God. Every naysayer, everyone who rejected Jesus, all those who went to church but didn't know Jesus, they're going to stand before God and give an account for their sin, the rejection of Jesus. And it's not that He throws them into the endless pit, it's that they've chosen, they rejected the love of Jesus. Forever, and they're not coming out. It's kind of remind me of our duty to Collier in school. In school, do you ever write a note, you see somebody you like? I like you. You like me. You want to go to the dance? Here, Fernando, give that to Carol, will you? So he's taking my message in his hands to Carol. Now, whatever she does with it, she can do it over again. Might be a different story, okay? But whatever she does with it, that's up to her. But you did what I asked you to do. Take this message to Carol. And folks, that's where we're at. God's saying, listen, I got this message. You're my friend, because we're the friend of Jesus, right? In fact, we're co-heirs of the throne. I want you to take this message, and I'll tell you who to take it to. Now, once they receive it, it's up to them. If they want to do as the message says, we'll reject it and say, no, I don't want that. But that's what you're called to do. Now, it didn't take a lot of skill for you to take that note down to Carol, right? Now, it took a lot of trust in me because you could have scratched that out. My name is Fernando. Hey, I find you're beautiful. I love the way you talk. I love the way you walk. Okay? And then you take, highlight Starkey, you write out my name, right? Fernando, give it to him. Oh, he walks away with Carol, okay? That'd be sad, wouldn't it? So I really want to be able to trust Fernando, not for Carol. Right? I imagine she's doing something, yeah. But see, I really had to trust you to do that, okay? And that's just for here on earth. Look how much God trusts you. Right. He trusts you with this message to take it to whoever he shows you to take it to. That he'll get the glory for it. To touch a life, to change it. And what's happening right now, we got to watch out in this world because people are taking this message and they're perverting it. You know, they're changing things. They're making the message watered down. And they're trying to make it easier for people to get born again. Folks, there ain't no easy way except to receive it as a gift. You know? Fernando's could have marked out some of the warnings in my note and stuff, you know. Instead of asking out for a date, hey, made it very simple, you know. Hey, Starkey, I'm going to pick you up and take you to drop you off the dance tomorrow. What do you think? Well, I guess I can ride with him that way. Well, you got him in the car, okay. So my buddy, Fernando, said, oh, Starkey, you're going to be happy because I got Carol in the car. He's going to take you to the dance. And not as my partner, but he's going to drop her off, you know. But at least I'm pleased with him. And we take that gospel, we water it down. So, oh, at least I got him in church. Oh, I got him in this. I'm doing this. But if they're not hearing the truth about this here, we're not doing any good. We'll put them in the car and drop them off in hell. And God doesn't want that. Okay? And don't be scared about it. You are somebody. I'm saying, born again. Woo! And he says, man, they're going to come against you. Some people are going to make fun of you. Some of you might lose your job. But he's got you. Okay? He's got your back. That song again, for me in my house, we'll serve the Lord. And maybe someone in your house, maybe someone who owns the house, doesn't serve the Lord. And they all kind of stuff going on, but you're stuck there right now, okay? Marty, don't look at Chuck, okay? Okay, so let's make it down smaller. For me in my bedroom, we shall serve the Lord, or me in my closet. Whatever area you have to control, if nothing else, for me in the temple of the Lord, we shall serve you. Amen? Even though you might have to sit right now in the middle of all this filth and stuff, because you serve him what you got. Amen? Trust in him. But it's the truth. Oh, man. It's the truth that will do it. But Romans chapter 5. I want to turn to this one. I'm going to start at 6. No, you're right. 8 is the concrete. But, what did I say I was going to go now? Romans 5. Okay, I went to 8. In verse 6, this is a New American Standard. Your NIV or King James might be worded just a little bit different, but the same meaning. He says, in verse 6, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrated his own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Wow. While we were yet sinners. How many were sinners before you come to know Jesus? Every one of them. Who would want to stand up right now and tell me every sin you committed?
There's no way.
Amen. Who's here today who is embarrassed about the sins of the old days? Okay. Amen. Who wish we would go back and change things? Who wish you heard this a long time ago? Okay. Amen. But while we were still offensive to him, while we still sin, while we were still doing our own thing, when we had blasphemy in our voices, when we denied God in any part of our life, when we were our own gods, really, we had our life, going to live our own way. Okay. He died for us. Think of that, Kenny. He died for you and me. Oh, crazy days back in high school. I mean, we won't speak about it, but God demonstrated His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have to remember that part. We share it with people. Hey, listen. No matter what you did, He died for your sins. But folks, may we remember that today in the world that we're living in and all the stuff that we see going on, that Christ still died for that person. Whoever it is, He died for him. And that's the hardest part. I mean, I remember one of the first Bible studies. Remember we used to have the rotating Bible study from house to house? And they had the fellow at that time, his name was Jeff Dahmer. If anybody remember that ordeal. And I'm saying, new Christian, okay? But I'm a cop. And you guys were talking about Dahmer, and Pastor Jim was talking about, you know, you need to be praying for Dahmer's soul because, you know, God died for every one of us. And of course, me being so born again, I said, I hope he goes to hell. You know? And what really touched me on that was, no one jumped on me about that. Because they said, no, you can't do that. No. As I heard the Word of God, and I grew in Christ, my heart changed. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God, being in this Bible, changed me. I said, yeah. Now, I hated what he did. But Jesus died for him like he did for me. And boy, for him to give his life to Christ, we snatch his hands out of the devil before he goes to hell. And so that was a learning process for me. And so I carry that with me today. I learn a lot from that. We have a lot of folks right now in authority that is really, really evil. Really evil, And when we think we've seen it all, we see more. But God sent His Son to die for them also. Think of that. And God desired that no one would perish. And we are His voices here on earth. Remember that. We're intercessors. I pray every day that the evil doers of this world are removed from power. I pray for justice to be served. But I pray that through the process that their eyes be open to see Jesus Christ as He is and come to repentance. I don't know if they will or won't, but I'm doing what God has called us to do. And then God takes it from there. Hate the sin, but love the sinner. And we know that someday, maybe they already done it, but God will turn them over to a reprobate mind. We understand that. Unless He speaks to you and say, hey, I'll turn them over, continue to intercede. How many of us here today, people wrote us off before we come to know Jesus? Man, no way. How many people today find out you're a Christian and they're like, what? You're born again? Isn't that a great testimony? I mean, I love when people step back. Yeah, I heard you're a preacher now. Yeah, oh my. Whew. That just shows me how much grace God's given me, you know. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. This is another thing for us to, for ourselves, remember. Because I think we get down on ourselves too much. My Bible's falling apart too much. I'm getting close to it. I gotta get some more duct tape on here. Ephesians 2, verse 8. In verse 8 it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one may boast. It's a free gift. Being a free gift when we receive Jesus is sometimes one of the hardest things for us to comprehend. Because we want to work for it, don't we? We feel better if I can sit down and say, oh man, I served 1,000 hamburgers today and killed 27 people and did this. Whew, I'm going to heaven now. I feel better that way because I worked for it. That's a way of thinking. But it don't work that way. It's a free gift. And so folks, you're born again and you sin, It's a free gift. You don't give your gift back. God doesn't take it back from you. Now, there is a time if you want to turn your back on Jesus and denounce him. Once saved, always saved is not true, okay? I mean, if you're... The Bible says if you continue to practice such things, it lists all these sins and stuff, there's nothing more that God can do for you if you don't repent from them, okay? But it's a free gift. And when you mess up, talk to God. I always thought about Fiddler on the Roof. We watch that once in a while. And when that Jewish guy is outside, he's always talking to God. You know, I said, hey, God, I blew it. I opened my mouth up today. I shouldn't do it, you know. Okay, let's keep going. It's a free. He gave me that. He died for me. I received him. I'm going to follow him. Now, I want to be like Jesus. That's my heart's desire, to be like Jesus. Do I fall short? Yes, guys. You won't embarrass me. You know, yes. But my heart is that way. God knows that. God knows where my heart is. I'm going to be like the Master. Okay? And when I mess up, I try to figure out when I stumble and I fall, what caused me to trip? Then what I want to do is go around that thing, you know? And not do it again. If I do it again, it's a free gift. That's the hardest thing for us to realize that. Because when we sin, we want, I blew it. I can't do it. You've already done it. You received him. Free. I'm going back to my deck again. A free gift. How hard that was. I would have felt better in a way if I could have paid here. Wow. What a humbling experience. But a beautiful experience. What an awesomeness of the gospel. Free. In fact, they told me if I paid and they'd walk away from it. Carol won't let me. Well, it's just, yeah, it's just to learn that. And that's where your salvation is a free gift when you receive it. He comes into your life. Now let him guide you and follow him. You know, John 3:16. We all know that one? Shall we? For God so loved the world that he sent an only begotten Son. Maybe you shall have eternal life. Yes. Verse 17 is, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn us, but that we may be saved through him. That's awesome, you know. Again, for yourself to remind you, free gift, I received it, okay. Not perfect, he knew that I'm imperfect. I want to be like Jesus, okay. I don't want to fall. Our desire to turn to him, a household established for him, okay? Some things in your house today, maybe you have it hanging around, okay? Get rid of it. There's no reason to keep it. Understand, if it causes you to stumble, boom, boom, we all might have stuff in our houses from the old days, you know? Yeah, I know. Let the Lord leave it. I say get rid of it. Because all that stuff in the old days, most of it, glorified the devil. It glorifies our relationship with the world and not with God. And it can cause you to stumble. And I know some of us have albums that back in the 60s and 70s, they bring $300 or $400 now. Break them half and throw them away. It's not of God. I know, well, we can sell them albums and get the money to the poor. God doesn't need that for the poor. Amen? It just, yeah. I mean, there's some albums, us baby boomers, I mean, the stuff that we had back in the day that's worth some money. Because we have the money to buy it back with, do we? I mean, yes. Yeah, but just don't let Satan get a foothold into that. In John 1:12. This is a good reminder for us and also the sharer. And what it says is that all those who come to Jesus become a child of God. We become co-heir to the throne of Jesus. We're brothers. Think of that. People say, well, listen, we're all God's children. But we are not. Remember, let me share it again. We shared a few weeks ago, part of it. But the minute a child is conceived, and that's the second that the sperm and the egg come together, that is life. Right there. From that moment on, until the child reaches the age of accountability, that child is God's child. That's his child. Then, when they get to the age of accountability for the sin, the father's the devil. Okay? Because born in sin. But when we come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we become a child of God again. Think of that. That's why it says for us to raise our children in the ways of the Lord. And when they get old enough, they won't depart from that. Now, for many of us in here, that wasn't me. I wasn't walking with the Master when that took place. But it's never too late to go back and share with them what you've learned. And you deposit that. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. So, that's why from the minute of conception, that is God's baby. That's His child. I truly believe, as followers of the Master, do what we can to protect that child's life. We should do what we can. I believe every life is important. God says that. And there's times when things have to take place because of sickness on the mom and stuff like that. But to stand up for them, and that's not very politically correct today either, but Jesus didn't come to make us politically correct. You know, sharing out of love. Again, screaming at people never changed my opinion. Vicky, you scream at me, get out of my kitchen! Okay? We say, just get out of here. What did I tell you? Tell me. But I'm back in the kitchen. We both love to cook. Hey, get your nose in the Bible and get your nose out of my kitchen. But it's just because people don't know. People have been indoctrinated. They've been raised with a different religion. They've been raised with no knowledge of God. And this is the way it's always been. And a lot of times when you start sharing this, you're coming against what families and their families have taught them for years and years. And so we have to do it in a way out of love, but share the truth and don't water it down. But have to receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it's not just lip service. You know, it's when you share this to them, the Spirit of God will touch your hearts. Because if I walked up and said, hey Jeff, you want to go to Chicago? The bus is pulling up. Yeah, I'll go. He gets on the bus and I say, okay, you got to drive. Wow. Okay. A little bit more to it, right? And a little bit more to it. Say, hey, who don't want to go to hell? I don't. Okay, with me. Just say this prayer with me right now. Jesus, come into my life. I surrender to you. Boom. And you walk outside. The only trouble is, there's no heart change. You weren't convicted of our sin. We had no idea that we had a need for Jesus. So it doesn't change us. It's like saying wedding vows, and you just say them because you want your honeymoon, right? Well, maybe that was only me, I don't know. But. You're still married on paper. Probably marriage takes place over the years. And some of us, we come to know Jesus. But today you love Him more than the day you met Him, right? Because you realize how can He love me? Sometimes I wonder how my wife can love me. And Christ loves me more than my wife does. He sees all my imperfections. He sees me when I'm around her, you know? And He still loves and cares for her. That's a loving God. And John 5:24 is the last scripture on Roman Road. He says that salvation is assured. It says, truly, truly, Jesus tells us, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. He who hears my word, and that's what you're presenting to them, his word. Sometimes we think, just share. Just share, and I tell you, it's always worked better for me if I get one-on-one no interruptions, and talk with them. And if they ask you something, you're not sure. So I'm not sure. And, you know, I'll get back. But this is what the Word of God says. And they're going to look at it, and they're going to know it has to be right, because you're not the same person you used to be if you're not the same person. Okay? And maybe even walking with the Lord, but He has been walking with you. You know, maybe you love hanging out in church and be around church people and stuff, but still, when you get home, Christ isn't there, or you go to work, He's not with you, because you haven't truly surrendered your life to Him. But today is a good day to do that. You know, today is. I would say it's never too late, but it is too late if we pass on. But to examine ourselves, say, God, I'm going to be more like You. Well, I've got caught up in this world too much now. I've got too much. I mean, it's so easy to get caught up in politics right now, right? Beyond. But, you know, we have to address these issues, okay? But we are citizens of heaven, called by the Lord to share the gospel and live for Jesus, okay? So we want to do what we can. We have voting come up on Tuesday. Okay, we got a primary or something going on. It's good to be involved with it. But we have to be absorbed with the gospel, and how can I share? How can I touch lives? Lord, show me. And He'll show us. He'll lead us in that. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, we do come before You this morning, and thanking You for Your Word. And God, we do thank You for the salvation that we share through the blood of Jesus. And God, at this time of life, You've called us to be Your voice, Your witness. And I just want to thank You, Father, for all my brothers and sisters. And our desire, God, is to be pleasing to You, to please You and not the world, Father. Help us to have thick skin, that when they reject us, that the old man won't raise back up, but just Your love, Father, understanding that when they reject Your Word, they're doing the same thing that we have done in our lifetime. May we have patience. May we have that peace and have that joy, knowing that we are making a difference, even though people don't acknowledge now that we're making a difference in life. And Father, for anyone who's here today, maybe has been, we call, backslidden or not walking with You, been compromised with the world. May we all just come before Him today, and Father, so forgive us. Forgive us for our weakness. Forgive us for being intimidated by the world. Forgive us for selfishness. Forgive us for putting our things way above Yours, that You are the center of our life, that we want You to come in. We surrender our entire life to You. We surrender our household to You. God, that we can be that light wherever we're at to share the gospel. And Lord, we continue to intercede today for our children and our children's children's children, for our loved ones, Father. They're our family. We place the blood of Jesus over them today, just as the blood was placed upon the doorposts, the lintels of Passover, Lord, that all that is inside will not perish. And we just do that today, Father, and declare that they are a part of Your kingdom. They shall come to know Jesus Christ. And we just bind whatever spirit is right now that's blinding them, that's holding them back, we bind it in the name of Jesus. And we declare, Father, to send workers across their path to speak, to share in a way that they will understand it. And Lord, as You do that, we ask You to do the same to us. Send those that pass us, God, to our walkways and our places that we go, that we may share the gospel. And the Holy Spirit, I know that You lead us. You give us the words to speak. All we have to do is conquer the fear of afraid to open our mouths up. But Your word says that You will give us the words to say, Lord. And Lord, may Your hand continue to be upon Brother Bob and Rita and each one of us here tonight, today, God. We declare Your word is true. We declare that by Your stripes You brought healing to our bodies. And we just speak to our bodies today that in the name of Yeshua, whatever's in our bodies that's not planted there by God Almighty, be removed in the name of Jesus. Whether it be cancer cells or whatever might be attacking our body, if it's dementia, if it's blood vessels shrinking, things being clotted, we declare that we are Your temple, Father. And that healing is a part of our DNA. Forgive us, Father, for the things that we bring on ourselves. Show us, Father God, as Your hand works on us to restore our bodies, that we won't be detrimental to our bodies. We're bringing those things back into it, Lord.
And Father, show us our household, the things that may we don't recognize it's detrimental to you, that we'll clean things up, not to earn our salvation. We have our salvation, but to bring you glory and help deliver from the temptations of falling back. God, we pray for our nation today. We pray for those in authority over us. God, we thank you for hearing our prayers and our repentance, especially the last couple of years, God. You're revealing more and more of the truth, Father. And as the truth is brought out, may it fall in the hands of those, Father God, that can do something with it. May more people's eyes be open to understand what the truth is. Not a political thing, Father. This is evil and good. Evil and good. That's what it is. It's not political because we have evil on both sides, Father. So continue to expose it, and may men and women stand up. Godly men and women and patriots stand up, Father God, to take on the position of governing this nation. They be appointed there by you, Father. And may we have the wisdom to see who it is. Not a Democrat, not a Republican, but godly men and women. And Lord, may we stand behind them. May our voices speak of them, Lord, that this nation be turned around, that we continue to love you and share the truth, and that we continue to live for the rapture and not hide from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God is awesome.